We have free will and we operate within free will. And that's such a gift. Not always easy though, but we can utilize human design, astrology, whatever tool you're drawn to. Some people just use their faith. Some people use their Reiki practice. I mean, anything, but they're meant to assist us because we are here making choices all the time. And what I love about astrology is it definitely helps me navigate with a bit more awareness. Doesn't mean it makes all my choices easier, but most often it helps me navigate with a lot more awareness, which I love.
Hi, I'm Derek Mills. Welcome to the Glow Up Podcast. It's time again for one of our guest hosts to take over the podcast. In a moment, you'll hear from Rachel Autumn. She is a producer at Glow, and I highly recommend her previous episodes as host on the Glow Podcast. She is joined today by her friend, Natalia Benson. Natalia is an astrologer and mentor who shares her wealth of knowledge about using astrological insights to gain self-understanding and practice conscious entrepreneurship. They share their stories of friendship and also Natalia's story about her pathway into astrology. Here's Rachel and Natalia. I hope you enjoy their conversation.
I am super thrilled to introduce my dear friend, my sister, mentor, coach, Natalia Benson to the Glow Podcast today. Natalia is an astrologer, money, and business mentor for spiritual entrepreneurs who are seeking to create life on their terms according to their unique astrology. She specializes in high-level conscious business coaching, digital course creation, and online monetization rooted in spiritual wellness offerings. She also has her own financial empowerment membership, Heart-Led Business School, and hosts Natalia Benson, the podcast, which just hit over 1 million downloads. That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Thanks, babe.
Natalia's mission is to see women empowered with the ability to create their own revenue streams, running businesses that contribute to the betterment of people's lives. She seeks to create more depth, compassion, kindness, empowerment, and joy in the world at large via the practicing of self-accountability and the integration of spiritual tools. Welcome again, Natalia.
Oh, Rach, I'm so honored. And thank you so much for having me, babes.
Thank you for being here. You know, I love you dearly. How we met was so serendipitous. We met on the internet. I slid into the DMs and I've admired you for so long. How you welcomed me in as a friend and sister was so generous and kind. And I love you. I always will. I'm so grateful that you would share space in this way with me. It feels very full circle and just nourishing the course of loving you for so many years now.
Oh my God, babe. I mean, my Scorpio queen, and I just, I'm humbled, and you've changed my life, and you know that. And I feel so privileged that you even asked me to come and share some space with you and have the honor of being interviewed by you, which is just exciting. And I'm just couldn't be more grateful. So thank you, my love.
Thank you. I'm giving her some sparkles. You can't see us. Natalia is notorious for sparkle fingers. If you've ever seen Bring It On.
Where that came from. Yeah. It had to have been Bring It On. It just became a thing one day. I was like, oh, we're doing sparkles. That's the thing.
Bring It On is that reference when the coach is like, these aren't spirit fingers. These are spirit fingers. So Natalia has this. She creates really beautiful online containers for mentorship, for astrology, deep dives, and so many other things. And in it, she always has that celebratory sparkle finger. So I'm going to be giving them to her throughout our time together.
Love you.
I'm so excited to have you here. Love you back. Okay, I want to get into kind of the birthing of your astrology journey, if you wouldn't mind sharing, because I know that is such a foundation to everything that you have pulled out of yourself as a creator, as a mentor, as a business strategist and leader. Astrology is something that you have such a lighthearted, practical, tangible approach to. And I think for a lot of us, like myself, I'll speak for myself, I'm very much an astrology enthusiast, I would say. I am like not that knowledgeable in astrology. I have a big understanding of my natal chart from a very like high level perspective. And you were a great teacher in helping me look at it and decipher it. But for folks who don't know you yet, where was like the birth story? Where's the origin story of how astrology became a companion for you in your journey?
Yeah. I mean, astrology, it's so funny how looking back, like how this dropped in, but truth be told, and it's not very glamorous, but I had moved to Los Angeles. I was 21 years old and I got into like a long distance relationship with this Gemini guy and he broke up with me like 2 weeks after I moved to LA. So little heartbroken 21-year-old me, I was at lunch with a friend of mine and she looks at me in my downtrodden moment at the Five and Dime in downtown LA. And she's like, have you ever heard of astrology? And I'll never forget that moment because that was the moment. And she actually got me into this, wait for it, because it's kind of hilarious, but this astrologer who had a website called Soul Garden. And this is back in like 2008, 2009. Like, yes, this seems so normal now. And I also feel like spirituality and astrology specifically has just become so much more popular, I'd say. But then it was like, this was a pretty random website, but I just fell in love with it. And that was really the beginning of me learning and being a complete and total beginner with this system of astrology. And basically, I would listen to this astrologer. His name was Christopher Witecki. He would do these lunar horoscopes every darn day. I was like, wow, that is dedication and devotion. So he would do these lunar horoscopes every single day. And that was really how I started to get the language of astrology. Just things started to make more sense. And then I actually ended up getting a reading from him. He ran a sale for a $150 astrology reading. And for me at the time, being in college, like that may as well have been a mortgage. Like it was so much money to me, but it happened to be around the holidays and I ended up I got some gifts, some cash. And so I was like, I'm getting this reading with Christopher Witecki. And thank God I made that investment in myself because it transformed my life. And that experience that I had, I think it was an hour-long reading. And the reason that it was so prolific is not because he was telling me things like I should go do them. He was telling me things about myself that no one could know because they were things about my inner psychology and things that I knew about myself, but I didn't have total access to. And everything he said, it was the first experience in my life where other than maybe a family member telling me that they loved me in like a tough moment, it was the first moment I'd ever felt like someone was speaking the truth to me, like total truth, because it landed different in my body and in my being. And I'll never forget, I got off that hour-long call and I was sitting at my little jewelry desk because I had a jewelry business at the time. And I looked forward at my bulletin board and I just stared quietly for a minute because I knew that that was an absolute turning point moment in my life. And I started to study astrology. He actually told me that I would be who I am now, which is really funny. But again, it wasn't like he told me and I was like, oh, that's a good idea. It was like, no, this is like someone reminding your soul who you actually are. And then you just get that little click on of truth and awareness and you can walk with it and then jog with it and then run with it and then eventually dance with it. So I'm dancing with it these days. And, you know, I've been studying this now for like 14 years. So I just, I'm still a student. I still consider myself a beginner and I see myself like a practitioner of astrology because astrology as some will think it's a belief system, it's not. I look at it as a language, and I have just had like a devotion to studying the language of astrology for quite a long time. So that's how it all started. Pretty funny, huh? And then I just studied my chart and I just made everyone. I worked at a juice bar in Hollywood as well, and that was really where I began my true studies, because every person that walked in that door, I'd be like, what's your birthday? And I would look at their mannerisms and chat with them. And, you know, astrology is fun because I kind of feel like a social scientist. I just like to see what are people's signs, what's going on in their chart, and what's real in their life. And so that's a passion. That's what's kept me devoted to it for so long, because I love people. I love connecting with people, and I really like understanding them. So astrology is just my vehicle for doing that.
I love that, a vehicle for doing that. And you called it a science, and it feels also like very creative and artful. Like you might speak to one astrologist and another astrologist over here, and there might be different interpretations or different things that
100%.
They pick up.
Exactly. It is. It's like an art and a science, and it's based on this central system of astrology, which is like, you know, just like the law of gravity, there's certain things you just agree on so that the system works. And so there's, you know, the signs, the houses, the aspects, the planets, the degrees, so many different things going on in this system and in this language. But it's so cool because astrologers are like artists, and they have their own interpretation of the language. And that's always fun. And you know my interpretation. So it's an interesting one.
I know, and I love it because it's so empowering. I think actually you used, correct me if I'm wrong, the term astrology empowerment.
Yes.
And I'd never heard of that before. And for someone whose previous knowledge of astrology and experience with astrology was like opening a magazine, finding this horoscope, and then like deciding that, oh my gosh, all Geminis are blank, all Scorpios are this. And people definitely have like that sun sign fixation. Yeah. And there's some stereotypes that might be commonly associated with the signs for the better, for the worse. And then we'll meet someone who's a blank sun sign and then like run for the hills or the opposite, you know. And I don't want to, I know that there's a sacredness to this tool. And I know that like pop culture has popularized it with most things, yoga. There's lots of sacred tools, sacred wisdom practices that have become monetized, that have extended to the West. Yes. And on one hand, it's amazing that so many people are gaining access and knowledge of these tools. But on the other hand, with that comes sometimes abuse or misinformation. Yes. And so that's why I love having people like you that are so trusted and celebrated in this space who share it. You're not sharing things, that empowerment side of things. It's not from a like dishonest place.
Yes, yes.
But I see you as looking at the challenges that might be presented in one's natal chart as opportunities and not just like, you know, death sentences.
I know exactly. Like that's the thing is like, I always say like, it's actually funny. I just bought this book. It's an old book. It's an old astrology book. It's about planetary transits. And I just was like, fuck, like, why did I read this? Oh, sorry. Is it okay if I cuss? We can edit that out. But it's just funny because I'm like, listen, it's important to me that we don't need another thing to lean into the negativity bias of our brain. Most of us have no problems understanding our fears and worries and our deep, dark, our deepest fears. But so many of us, we don't have access, or we forget our own potential, what's possible for us that exceeds or expands our own expectation or other expectations of us. And astrology, just like the psychic arts, just like tarot, you know, anything, yoga, any of these tools, these mystical tools, it's a responsibility when we share them. And so that's really important to me that they be used from, and I'm an Aries, you know, so reflecting to the self is my part of me being here. And so it's funny, as an Aries astrologer, I help and assist and support people to look at themselves. Because if we want to see change on any level in our own lives, in the world, in our communities, well, it begins with individuals. And it begins especially when we are moving with ourselves from a place of acceptance and awareness, and we make different choices. So astrology, in its most empowering expression, it has that inherent in it, which is just so important.
Thank you for sharing that and noting that, because I think that's a great just like precursor to wherever this conversation is destined to go. I know that having stated that kind of sets a foundation, because I would imagine we're going to have people across the spectrum hearing this episode, whether they are astrologers themselves, never heard of astrology, or maybe like me, or enthusiasts with a mild, a mild amount of understanding, enough to understand like when Mercury is retrograde, which I will actually get to at some point, because I would love to demystify some of those transits that a lot of us are scared of that we don't know.
I'd love to. That's one of my favorite things to demystify, is especially Mercury retrograde. Yeah. So yeah, we should definitely talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get there. Before we get there, could you kind of journey us through the basics, just so like, I know there's so many, there's so many things that we could talk about within astrology, but just so that folks don't feel totally lost as the conversation continues, the basics of astrology, we understand the reason behind it and how it can be used as this tool of empowerment, but the natal chart, like I love it. You, in your book, I actually, oh my God, I have your mystical AF.
Oh my God.
Look with me. When did this book come out?
I am going to cry. You're the greatest. That came out in 2019 or 2020, actually. 2020. I don't remember, to be honest. I feel like it, I think I launched at the beginning of 2020. I'm pretty sure.
It's such a beautiful, I'm backtracking for a second, because since I brought it up, Natalia has this beautiful book called Mystical AF, and the cover is just her shining bright. You can like faintly see a natal chart in the background. It's just gorgeous. It's so her energy and personality. And it's her story through like the, you journey us through some transits in your natal chart personally.
Yes.
And each chapter, it's so creative. Each chapter is named after a specific like planetary transit. Is that the proper way of saying it?
Actually, yeah, exactly, babe. It's actually based off of my natal chart.
Based off of your natal chart.
It's even just me mentioning this, the Soul Garden thing. I have a whole chapter of how I discovered, you know, astrology and tarot. And so, yeah, it's an interesting way to kind of situate the book, because I wanted just people to see like, if you're interested in astrology, I want you to see how these things can express, and not because your life is going to be exactly the same as mine, but because you have your own aspects and you have your own placements. And I just want you to see how they can express through your life, especially when we utilize them with awareness, because towards the end of the book, I start utilizing them with more awareness. And that's really how I stepped into this chapter of my life, because my life used to be very different, which I go into extensively in the book, and just how I transformed. I'm so honored you have that, babe. It's such a special book, and I just feel like it's very artsy of me to be like, oh, moving forward, what's the next thing I'm making? But that's it. But it is a special book, and I just love that you have it.
It's a special book. I read it before, then I like reread it, preparing to talk to you about all things Natalia, which are so many things. Like, I know we'll focus on astrology today, but your astrology expresses so much creativity that you have shown up in so many different ways. Like, she's a DJ, y'all. She had a jewelry business. Okay. She like has done all of these different things. You're a money mentor, a women's empowerment coach. Like, there's so many different expressions, and I know that you are who you are, and that you say that your natal chart has been like this trusty guide for you.
Yes. Yes.
So backtracking to that original seed that I was planting, before we proceed, just kind of like the basics that people should know when it comes to astrology. Yes.
Easy, easy. So basically, when we look at the natal chart, so the number one thing to understand about the natal chart is that it's based on the moment that you were born. And to keep it simple, let's just hold it there, because you can cast a chart for anything. Any moment in time, you can make a chart for it. But one of the most significant moments, according to the way that we astrologers look at it, is the moment that you were born, the moment you took your first breath. And the idea is that when an astrologer is looking at this chart, this natal chart, we are looking at what the planetary configurations were at that very moment, because we see that as significant. So, Rachel, I know that you're a Scorpio. What's your rising again?
Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm. And then what's your moon?
Taurus.
So if I were to look at your chart, I would want to look at and see, okay, so Rachel is a sun in Scorpio. I want to get to know, what are the characteristics of Scorpio? Because this is where she's meant to shine in this lifetime. I would then look at the house where the sun is placed in Scorpio, and that would give me an idea of where she's meant to shine. So the planet expresses like an energy. The zodiac sign expresses like how that planetary energy is kind of uniquely shaded. And then the house is going to show me where that unique planetary expression in Scorpio is going to be accessed and illuminated. Do you remember your house placement?
I actually looked it up earlier because I was like, I feel like at some
point she's probably going to ask me this.
And I don't know off the top of my head, so I'm going to stay ready so I don't have to get ready.
Are you 12 or 11?
11. Look at you. I can't.
Okay. Because you're a Sag rising. So,
okay.
So, here's what's beautiful, Rach. When we meet you, babe, we experience your Sagittarius ascendant, which is very unique to Scorpio, because Scorpio has this like deep, powerful, brooding, intense, emotional kind of side to it.
That tracks.
And that, and then the Sagittarius is, because here's what's really interesting, signs that are next to each other, they'll always be very, very different to each other. So Sagittarius, as your ascendant, this is going to be the way you project, the way you shake someone's hand. Sagittarius is the energy of the guide, the teacher, the truth teller, the expander. It's a fiery energy. So I'm using Rachel's chart as an example, just so for anyone listening, they might be like, what in the who in the hey? But what's cool is when you get to know your chart, let's just say your sun placement and your ascendant, you're learning two really powerful expressions of your unique personality. And what's fascinating as well is the sun is like your basic life force. So if you're ever feeling lost, you just need to step into the embodiment of your sun placement. And if you are looking to create emotional safety or to understand your own emotional well-being or your own emotional personality, you get to know your moon sign. So your moon's in Taurus. So a Taurus moon is going to have a very grounded emotional presence. So you also, Rach, were born on a full moon. Sorry, you said basics, and here I am just deciphering your whole chart. So the idea, my loves, is we want to get to know the planets, the zodiac signs, and the houses. And that's the easiest place to begin. And what I always tell someone is, if you want to get to know your chart, one of the best things, absolute best things that you can do is very simply study every single planet in your chart. Because if you get to know every single planet, you're going to start to learn the system of astrology. That's how I learned. I studied my chart first. I didn't care about anybody else's. I was like, this is so freaking cool. I feel like I just unlocked the keys to the entire universe, which I did. Because when we understand ourselves, we're very powerful. So essentially, if you want to get to know your chart or get to know astrology, study your chart first. And you can find astrology basics courses. I have a fun guide that I offer. So there's lots of ways that you can do this, but very simply, zodiac signs, planets, houses are the basics of astrology. And I'm going to stop there because that's all you need to start.
Thank you.
That's all you need to start.
We could go in, and I probably do.
We could go so in.
I for sure have some questions that will probably be going in, but just you having established that out the gate, I think maybe some folks who are able to, they're not driving right now. They're not, you know, we're not texting and driving, y'all. They are home. They're able to look up their natal chart while you talk about this. Maybe that's something that they can do as an activity. But here at the Glow Podcast, like, it's all about self-care and the ways that you can better get to know yourself. And astrology was your gateway to better getting to know yourself. And perhaps yoga is someone else's. I know that you had a Kundalini or have a Kundalini yoga background.
Yes,
as well.
Yes.
And so
loved that practice. Don't get to do it as much anymore, but I still, it definitely supported me a lot. It was the first thing that I ever did that was like nervous system regulation. So with the breath work and the meditations, and I learned a lot of discipline with that practice.
Yeah.
Which also, if you look at my natal chart, it makes sense I'd do something like that. So, because it was pretty full on.
Yes. Actually, I think the first like time I met you virtually was a Kundalini practice, if I'm not mistaken. I think you were offering Kundalini during, like online as like a support. It was a, you were offering something virtually during the pandemic.
Oh yeah. We did a meditation. I don't remember which one.
Yeah. But that was actually my introduction to Kundalini personally, because I had not experienced it before. I was like, look at this.
So good.
This lady and all of her mysterious, amazing expressions. Okay. All right. So we have that basic understanding of our astrology. We're looking at the zodiac. We're looking at the houses. We're looking at the planets. Yes. Now, when it comes to like day to day, the planets are moving, and our natal chart is what it was. It's that picture in the sky when we were born. But then what's going on planetarily day to day, it's going to connect in correlation with our natal charts, correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's one of the most interesting things. And this is where, you know, some people who maybe are very, very left brain or need, you know, more like my husband, he's into astrology these days, but he's a very logical, he's more left brain. I'm a little more right brain. So we have a unique dynamic, especially when it comes to kind of trusting the intangible. I'm a little more trusting. He's a little more hands-on, like needs more proof. But what I will say that's interesting about astrology and as we get to know it is that there is this part, just like any faith, where there's certain things we can't totally objectively understand. They're experiential. And transits are the experiential side of astrology. Mm. You can experience your own personality to a degree. You can experience other people's personalities to a degree and have an understanding. Like if you know that your coworker or your best friend is a Cancer, you may understand that they're more private or they don't want to go out on Friday because they're tending to their plants and cooking like a 5-course meal. Like they're just, it's just a little bit of a different way of maneuvering. So we can see that and have the experience of that. But what's interesting, always through our own lens, of course, but what's interesting about transits is they are so deeply experiential, and they will actually give you this kind of wild experience at times of how unbelievably how uncanny this stuff actually is. It is now.
It's a word today.
It's a word.
Listen, Beyonce.
It's a word at this moment.
Beyonce has made up like 3 words. Like bootylicious is in the dictionary now. So if Beyonce can do it, so can Natalia.
Yeah, we're doing it. If Bey can do it, and she's a Virgo, like that makes perfect sense. And I have a lot of Mercury in my chart too. So we would be just making up our own words. But what's so fascinating is when we get to know transits, they just help us understand the seasons of our lives. So if you are, I'm going to trip you out right now a little bit, babe, because I'm pretty sure I know your transits because I'm a Capricorn rising, you're a Sag rising. So you experience transits before me. So I would imagine Jupiter is probably transiting your 5th house of creativity right now. Expansion, expression, creativity, also rules romance and children. So there are these themes that will come up when we get to know the planetary energy and where it's aspecting our natal chart. We can get an idea of what is alive for us at a current moment, what we're meant to be learning, where we're having challenges, where we're having opportunities and expansion, because your natal chart is like a living, breathing thing because you are the expression of it. And when you get to know your transits, here's the thing, horoscopes, they are sort of like an astrologer's attempt at speaking to as many people at once about a transit or some form of aspect. And that's why some people will discount astrology because they think horoscopes are mumbo jumbo, but it just, if it's helpful, it's helpful. If it's not, it's not. But when an astrologer is writing a horoscope, they're attempting, and I wrote them for many years, you're literally attempting to speak to as many people as you can at the same time. But you're using a transit and an aspect most often, one or the other. And that's how you can explore and understand, well, if I'm a Scorpio and Mars is squaring my, let's say like my solar first house or whatever is going on, an astrologer is going to interpret that. But more specifically, when you have someone read your actual chart and your actual transits, it is illuminating.
Yeah.
Illuminating. It's so fun. It's not always fun though. Sometimes I have transits where I'm like, this is intense. Like it's just, but at least you can move with it with awareness because you have the awareness of what's going on. And I just recently started to teach a lot more about transits, like on my Instagram, because I just think they're so healing to understand, because then we're not like, why do things feel so hard? Or even just to celebrate ourselves and be like, oh my God, like I have this thing going on. And funny enough, you have Jupiter going through your 10th house of business. And I've had a lot of clients who will come to me and they want to know stuff for business or, you know, if it's the right time to have children. And while I never give specific hard and fast answers to, especially the children piece, because the truth is you can do anything at any time, but there will be certain things that you do that are more supported. And I had a client a long, long time ago who was wanting to start a family and was having so much trouble because she had so much accentuation in her 10th house of career and all this stuff on her midheaven. And I said, you know what, for now, the focus looks like it needs to be here. She goes, I know, and I'm resisting it. And I was like, no, put your focus here. And it helps us live more in the flow.
Yeah.
Because there is a universal flow going on, whether we can call it whatever we want. But understanding astrology, our own unique transits, our own unique chart, it helps us get to know our own unique flow because we've all got one.
Yeah. Okay, you just blew my mind with so many different things. Like I'm that meme right now where all the numbers are like floating around.
And I love that meme.
I'm just like, whoosh, like mind blown, especially the horoscopes thing and the attempt to see and speak to as many people as possible. Yes. Because I think what has happened for a lot of folks is that they see that and then they write it off because it's like, ah, this is so commercialized and it's so general, and or other people really buy into it fully and like might order all their life's choices based off of this. And you're not saying to do that either.
No, never.
Right. Yeah.
You always have free will. Like, like that's like number one law in the universe. Like we have free will and we operate within free will. And that's such a gift. Not always easy though, but we can utilize human design, astrology, whatever tool you're drawn to. Some people just use their faith. Some people use their Reiki practice. I mean, anything, but they're meant to assist us because we are here making choices all the time. And what I love about astrology is it definitely helps me navigate with a bit more awareness. Doesn't mean it makes all my choices easier, but most often it helps me navigate with a lot more awareness.
Yeah.
Which I love.
More awareness and also just like more permission to like relax because listen, like there's things happening, this language of the cosmos and all, there's all these things happening that are contributing to our experience right now. And that makes, like, for me personally, it's made me feel a lot less like crazy when 100%. Wild things are happening.
Yes. I had this amazing woman on my pod many years ago, and she said, astrology grants context. Mm-hmm. And she put that so beautifully. I think she had done my business school and she got really into astrology, and she was just like, astrology creates context. And I said, I'm going to have to steal that from you, because I've never heard something so poignant and so perfect about astrology. It gives us context, because living life, especially when we're in a season of challenge, when it feels like things are happening to us instead of through us, it's easy to be mad. It's easy to feel like hurt and angry. And that just makes us ineffective. Of course, anger is sacred. There's a time for it. But what's beautiful is when we at least can understand, you know, frick, like, this is a season I'm in right now. Like, I got a freaking Saturn moving through my second house of money. Like, I'm a money teacher. I'm getting a whole other layer of depth and intensity and healing that I know will serve me. But in the moment, it is very hard. Like, I'm facing things about my own internal world when it comes to money that I'm like, oh, I thought I was done with this. Like, can we be done? And it's like, it's just a season. It's a theme.
Yeah.
And the more I understand it and the more that I get to know it, it's always remembering that in some capacity, everything is here for our growth. Everything is here for our growth. And I believe that's why souls are on the planet. That's why I love teaching astrology, because I'm really into the idea of the soul and astrology also being a blueprint for the soul, so we can understand our lifetimes better and be more effective. So I'm a deep astrologer. Like, yeah, you're not going to see any, no flyby astrology on my watch. You know what I mean? But I take it real deep.
You take it deep, but it's accessible and digestible.
Yes. Good.
And playful.
I always want that.
Yeah. Like, it's, you're just you're very otherworldly, and I feel like you are brought here to share wisdom in a way that, like, esoteric wisdom that other folks might otherwise not be able to receive and digest and then translate and integrate into their lives.
100.
Myself included.
I'm honored to receive that from you, babe. But I'm like, thank you so much.
No, seriously.
I feel an absolute privilege and honestly a humbling opportunity just to share this stuff, because when I know that when it's utilized in from a place of awareness, it is a gift. It's such a gift to our lives. It's fun. Like, I'm a geek about this stuff, and it makes life more fun. I take it a little less seriously at times.
Yeah. If you couldn't tell, you're a geek, because you're like, I know where you're
geek.
Jupiter's transiting based off of. I'm like, okay, like, this is, I aspire. You know, practice, progress. So I love it, because it's just like you said, it opens up the nuances, and it seems like your relationship to astrology has evolved as you have evolved. It's
absolutely
the way you express it, the way you teach it, the many different expressions in your career path. I'd love to get into that for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I want to know, I don't know if there's one specific place in your chart that speaks to, like, creativity and purpose. Or if there's multiple places, mm-hmm. But you, again, I actually wrote this down and this is probably not all of it.
Clears throat.
You have been and are an astrologer, a modern mystic, Kundalini yoga teacher, a DJ. Are you producers? You produce your own music as well.
Yeah.
Producer,
yeah.
DJ.
I have an amazing producer. Yes. But yes.
Life coach, women's empowerment coach, money mentor. And I'm sure there were, like, jewelry, business owner,
yeah, did the
designer,
jewelry.
All the things. And I can relate to that so much, because I'm someone who's like, all the things, multi-hyphenate, and.
Yes.
And there's been so many parts of my journey where I was like trying to cast that down and thinking that I have to choose one path to be taken seriously.
Yes.
Maybe it's not appropriate to monetize all the things that you love, but I'm just curious what that journey has been like for you with this understanding of your natal chart.
Oh, I love that question, babe. I mean, well, first things first, to tie it to my natal chart, and there's a chapter in Mystical AF about this. I think it's the last chapter, but, you know, Pluto in my 10th house. So Pluto, wherever we have Pluto in the chart, I call that our power placement. But Pluto, just like Saturn, Chani Nichols, she says that Jupiter and Venus will give you your gifts. Pluto and Saturn will make you work for them. So wherever those are, so it's kind of nice, right? It's like, yeah, we have things that feel more easeful, and then we have things that are like, why am I here? Whose plan was this? And for me, my Pluto's in the 10th. And so I have just worn so many different identities, figuring out and stepping into my own power and stability in the place of my career. So Pluto's our power placement, and it shows that an area in our life where we will die and be reborn many times, where we are meant to hold power, but where we are likely terrified to hold power. And this can be in any place in the chart and any area that you can think of, and probably the one you think of for your own life. If you look at your chart, you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe my Pluto's there. Because usually we already have an awareness of this stuff. And then when we see the chart, it's like, holy moly, that's incredible. So mine is in the 10th house of career. It's a 10th house of career, 10th house of business. And I have just done it all. And I'm also very into human design. And when I learned about being a manifesting generator, that also explained a lot of ways that I am. And with my Pluto in the 10th, it really has been this decision over and over and over again, still is, of just stepping into my truest, most authentic expression of self through my work, through my business. And ironically, mine is also conjunct what's known as my midheaven. And the midheaven in the chart is your most public place of the whole chart. So what's interesting, and this is kind of cool, Rach, because I have a Scorpio midheaven. So when people don't know me, they always ask if I'm a Scorpio, or they assume I'm a Scorpio. And your midheaven will be the thing that when people don't know you at all, they will assume you're that sign because of how you present publicly, like publicly. It's also your, like, it this angle, not to get too techie geeky, but this angle touches on your career house. But the idea of when there is a planet near that angle, it will be the way that people see you, or you will be very outward about whatever planetary energy is near that angle. So for me, and you know this, Rach, from knowing my work, I've always been very, very open about the things that I've moved through in my life, because Pluto is not the easiest. It's not the easiest planet in the astrological system. Like I said, it represents death and rebirth. It represents transformation. It represents power. It also represents misuse of power. It represents where we seek power, but it also represents where we must seek accountability. So what's interesting is that Pluto on your midheaven, I have that, Bjork has that, and Richard Nixon has that. I'm going more the Bjork route this time around. But just to give you an example, yeah, like Richard Nixon, we can all, you know, if you're familiar with what he did, it was very public, but his Pluto was right on his midheaven. Bjork is a little bit of a different expression, but she's just like this thing that you can't totally understand, but she's got Pluto on her midheaven. And what's funny is I think that there are things about me that not everyone can totally understand, especially if you are, let's say you're not into this stuff. Like, I mean, I've had so much. I've been online for a long time, and I've had such beautiful reflection and people who really resonate. And then every so often there will be someone who is just, they can't stand that someone like me even exists. So it's like Pluto is very polarizing. And that, so I kind of took that in a little bit of a different direction, but more so speaking into the fact that I've been very outward about my whole process. And Pluto is that energy. The fact it's in my 10th house of career, I'm like, I'm going to share everything with you. I'm going to tell you all the ways that I've done it right, all the ways that I've done it wrong. And so you can also see and hold power in your own way through someone else's willingness to be so open. And that's, you know, part of that placement. But then also the decision of like, I'm going to be a DJ, I'm going to be a money mentor. I'm just following my heart. Like, I swear, I'm just like, what's helped me and how can I help? I'm actually studying mediumship right now, and that's my next thing. So it's like, that's enough. Like, talk about Pluto in your 10th house on your midheaven. Like, there's nothing more. I'm just kidding, but it's almost like there's nothing more mediumship than that, because it's very, very that, which is fascinating. So really, I just have followed, where can I help? Where can I serve based on how I've helped myself? And that's really how I've guided my whole career. But it has been this kind of constant death and rebirth. And I'm even going through one right now. It's not comfortable at all, but it's just like, it's part of, you know, my process. And it's something that I also am grateful. I'm a very big communicator. That's very prominent in my chart. So sharing it and speaking into it is important to me as well. And right now I'm in a little bit more of a private season, and there's even aspects that reflect that. You guys, you got to get to know your chart. It's just a trip.
I love this. Like, and to know you too, like, is such a gift, because that all makes so much sense. And you said the best thing. You said you're following your heart. Like, at the end of the day, whether you know your natal chart inside out or
it's
not,
it's all about the heart.
It's like you're following your heart, and your life, your journey has been so soul led. S-O-U-L led. Like, it's been that you've been following your heart, you've been listening to your heart. And part of that has been this intersection of astrology. And like, guess what? It's going to continue. And like, this book, Mystical AF, it ends with a cliffhanger, because it ends where you stopped writing it. But of course, like, your journey continues. Like, since then, like, you're married, you are like, there's so many things that you are evolving through since this time. And it was so beautiful to read this then and to read it now again, and to journey. And that example that you just shared, or not really example, testimony of how you are this open book safely. Yes. Like, you are in this private season right now, but you have throughout your life opened the door to your experiences, and you share really vulnerable things that have happened in your life.
Yeah.
And it gives, like, it does exactly what you have hoped in serving others. Mm. It does. Like, it gives others permission to do the same.
Oh, babes.
You know, or to feel safe and evolving.
You just always touch my soul. Like, every time Rachel and I talk, you guys, because that's the beauty of your Scorpio too, babe, is like, you are just so like, I think you were mentioning stereotypes at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I always say the only reason that people could stereotype a Scorpio is because they are deeply intimidated of their own depth and their own truth. Mm-hmm. Because Scorpios hold depth and truth, and not everybody always, you know, likes that, because they're not associated or connected to the depth and truth of who they are. So you, like, I have a lot of magical, powerful Scorpio women in my life, and y'all just always meet us. Like, you just show up and you're so open-hearted and soft and kind. And that's why stereotypes have to go out the window with the signs, because not only are you dealing with individual people, but when you truly understand the complexity of every single zodiac sign, no one is ever just one way. And I have to remind myself that too, because sometimes I'll joke around. Libra men and I have always had a journey. So I'm not all high and mighty about this stuff, but I remind myself with that when I am having a moment with a Libra man. But I appreciate always, Rachel, you've always seen me. and I see you. So I just appreciate it so much. I'm so honored you brought my book. Like, I can't even believe it.
Girl, she's there. She's there with all of my other, like, I learned so much from you. And again, I actually learned a lot about astrology through reading your book, if anyone's interested, because again, you bring it, you ground it down. Like, sometimes you'll look at that chart. It looks like crazy town. It looks like a child went crazy with a crayon, started drawing squiggly lines. And you're like, WTF is this? And you ground it down in a way where it's like, and I can learn it through the lens of your story, but also look at my own life and my story. And it's a great starting place and also just companion for wherever you are in your journey of understanding your chart. Now,
best review I've ever gotten. So thanks, babes.
Like 12 out of 10 stars. Highly recommend. I want to kind of get into some of those that demystifying certain transits. You kind of talked about Pluto already, and I love the Chani Nicholas quote that you shared.
Yes.
Can you talk about the Saturn? Because I think you said Saturn is the other challenging planet in our chart, and specifically that Saturn return that a lot of us have heard of, we're scared of, we get into it. Can you explain
Saturn? Saturn is so in traditional astrology, there are malefic planets, and the root word of malefic is the word mal, which is the Latin word for bad or negative or challenging. I would know because I studied Latin in high school.
Very useful.
It's the only language I could take and get out of in 2 years. So I studied some Latin. But then later, becoming more mystical, I was like, oh, there's Latin all over this, these things. So kind of funny, but very foreshadowing, I'd say. So Saturn is known as a malefic, but we don't need to look at it in its traditional sense. But I just want you to think of that of like, okay, malefic, challenging. It's not an easy planet, but what do we know about any challenge that we've ever overcome in our life? Most likely, there was something that made us better, if not exponentially better. So what's powerful about Saturn and Saturn transits is that they represent an area of your life where you need to get disciplined. You need to get honest. The quality of Saturn is, these are sort of some bullet points of what Saturn represents: discipline, reality, time and patience, setbacks, feeling like, oh my God, I can't move ahead, I can't expand because there's some detail that needs to be tended to. So Saturn, there's this quote that I love that says, God never says no, yes, maybe, or I have something better in mind. So think of it this way. Saturn never says no. Like a planetary transit, it's not there to set you back forever. There's either a yes, go this way. There's a maybe there's something better, maybe there's something better, or just like, I've got something better in mind for you. I think I butchered my own quote. That's okay.
No, I'm tracking. I'm with you.
Yeah, thanks, babe. But just like the idea that there's no no. There's no no from life. So don't be intimidated or afraid of transits because number one, it's all occurring through you anyway, and you hold the power because you're aware of it. So with a Saturn transit, you could have Saturn going through the second house like me where it's like, hey, it's time to dot your I's and cross some T's when it comes to money, financial stability, strategy, etc. You could have Saturn moving through your fourth house of the home. It could be time to move, to get real about a living situation or a familial relationship. You could have Saturn moving through your ninth house of travel, and you could be asked to travel for something, but it's maybe something that's like a little bit challenging or like has a deep lesson or something that is embodied in it. Or Saturn going through the ninth also is just really powerful for the discipline to learn, like the discipline to learn or the discipline to step in and expand in some capacity. So there's so many different ways to look at this, but here's the gift of Saturn. When we're willing to show up for the tough things, for the things that feel restricting. I had this thought recently where I was like, wow, because I've had quite a journey with my health and with my relationship to my body. And I realized like, oh, it's not about going to the gym 5 days a week and this and that. It's actually taking care of myself from a grounded, healthy, loving place. And then maybe I don't eat sourdough donuts every week, because that sourdough donut, when I have a gluten intolerance, isn't really doing it for me. So it's like, let me just enjoy that maybe once a month or however often you like, but let me think of my health and let me just maybe take out one thing, not 10. Let me just take out one thing that might be kind of holding me back. That's Saturn's energy. It's like, I don't want to take all the joy out of your life, but I want you to look at your life and be like, what is the one thing that I'm doing that is keeping me in the same spot? And I need to look at it and love myself through it, not to shame, not to be hard on myself, but be like, hey, there's one thing I could change right now. What's that one thing? And that is Saturn's kind of energy. And we're all having a Saturn transit right now. So that could be the area of your life. And some Saturn transits feel a little more pronounced. Some feel a little more subtle. It really depends on the chart. It depends on the configuration of so many different things, but it's kind of cool. And if you're curious, you could go look and be like, where is my Saturn transit occurring? And do I feel like I could get a little more grounded and real, because this is an area of my life I can create more power and more peace within if I would just get real with myself about what's not working. Everybody knows about Saturn returns. Those occur, you know, at the end of our 20s, and those can feel very scary, but they're not. It's just a time of maturation. And on the other side of your Saturn return, usually around 29, 30, you usually are stepping forward with a whole other level of understanding of how the world works, how you want to show up in the world, and what you truly want and how you want to, yeah, move through your life as an adult. And it's funny because the word adult is so funny, but it's true. It's like Saturn is a very maturing energy, whereas Jupiter is an expansive energy. So if you want to look where you're expanding and where things are maybe a little easier for you at a given time, you can look at a Jupiter transit. Remember to keep all of this, take all of this with a grain of salt. None of this has power over you. It's the power moving through you. And it just can show you the themes of your life and what's maybe a little challenging at the moment that you're meant to learn and create, you know, greatness within. And then also where you're getting some easy kind of energy.
Because we need that softening, you know.
We do. We can't have it all be like, I mean, some seasons of life, it's like, woohoo. And then you're like, oh, wow. But there's always at least one thing.
Yeah.
That's going amazing or going well. And we have to remember that.
Yeah.
And that's how the planets work too. If we look at the chart, you're never not having a Jupiter transit, just like you're never not having a Saturn transit. So
I love that. Yeah. Teaching ourselves how to find the good and just the duality, like the fact that we experience what feels really yummy and nourishing is because we also know what it's like when things aren't like that. And
100%.
I love the idea of that all of this is just presenting opportunities for growth. Yes. Always. That's all that it is. And just always. Deep self-awareness. This is really special. And this is what I mean by like the empowering aspect. I feel like there's so many things for me to go home with and kind of just like, you know, not dive deep. We're not
just
still have floaties on. Yeah, it's cold outside in these LA streets. I'm not going all the way in, but I'm like splashing a little bit around my floaty in the astrology pool.
I love that. I'm using that analogy now.
Get your floaties,
I'm gonna
guys.
Quote you. Put your floaties on. We're going to learn about some astrology.
Oh my gosh. Says, okay. All right. I want to wrap this up. This whole conversation has been so empowering. As we wrap, actually, one thing I wanted to get into before the wrap up is Mercury retrogrades, because I said it earlier and I don't want to break any promises. And they happen like, what, 3 or 4 times a year?
Yes. Yes. You know,
I know, you know. Mercury, somebody said like Mercury's in Gatorade again, you guys. And that has stuck with me ever since. Could you give us like those some sound bites about the opportunity that's presented with Mercury retrogrades to just demystify some of our negative, not negative, but a lot of us have assumptions about Mercury retrogrades that feel disempowering.
Yeah. They can definitely bring things up. Like, here's what's interesting about retrogrades is any retrograde planet, the idea is that we're meant to go within. So if we're looking at like the concept of like yin yang, like active, receptive, forward moving, inward moving, or backward moving, the idea of a retrograde, when a planet is moving direct, that's that yang active energy. So it's just doing its thing. It's in its fullest expression. And when we are moving with a retrograde cycle, that's that more yin quality. And when a planetary energy, this is how astrology looks at it, goes a little bit more offline, the idea is that we are meant to like pick up that slack, so to speak. So we're going to learn some things. And remember, it will be occurring in a house for you. So instead of thinking like, oh, Mercury is in retrograde and Gatorade, that always makes me laugh. I love that meme. But instead of looking at it so generally, you can also look and be like, okay, what area of my life am I meant to be reconsidering something within? Or reconsidering, because the thing with Mercury is that Mercury represents the mind and Mercury represents communication. So that's why, and connective technology. And ironically, Mercury, the actual planet, is filled with metal. Can you believe that? My husband, is like an astronomy. He's the astronomer. I'm the astrologer. He likes the planets.
Yeah.
He has a Mercury in Aquarius. So he just loves space stuff. And so I've watched more like rocket launches and things like Sputnik. I never could have ever thought about any of this stuff, but it's so fascinating. And then as an astrologer, I like to learn about the planets, like their physicality, because it helps me understand them better. How fascinating that when Mercury goes retrograde, connective technology, transportation, planes, trains, automobiles, all these things are affected. And how interesting that it's filled with metal. I don't know. Wow. There's something, just food for thought. You know what I mean? Because one time my husband at his restaurant, the air conditioning broke and he calls me and he goes, babe, is Mercury in retrograde? I go, it just went retrograde today. He goes, uncanny. He goes, uncanny. So yeah, he's a believer these days. But when we look at Mercury retrograde in our own charts, consider that that may be an area for a couple weeks just to be aware in. Watch your tongue. Double check who you're sending text messages to, things of this nature. It's kind of just this reminder for us to double check our work, be aware of how we communicate, and yeah, really how we communicate. Double check your flight times. I'll never forget there was a moment where, even as an astrologer, I had a plane ticket. I was going somewhere and then I decided to change it. It was an absolute disaster. And it's just funny because I'm not the kind of person, let alone student of this stuff, where I just want it to be true. I just like to sit back and be like, what happens? What's going on?
Right.
And I'll never forget that travel fiasco. And I was like, I should have known better, because we utilize these things with awareness. But what you can do is you can look at your chart. And if Mercury is going retrograde in, let's say, Pisces or something, you can look and see, well, where is Pisces in my natal chart? And whatever house or houses Pisces spans, you'll be like, oh, well, that's the theme of this Mercury retrograde for me.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
I love that.
It's so fun.
Prior to this, Mercury retrograde, I'm like, okay, Stop all the communications, no contracts, no this, you know, that's like usually the bit of advice that people will say. Yes. And this grounded down again. I love that yin of going in introspection, introspective period. That's wonderful.
And if you sign a contract, like let's say you originate a contract during Mercury retrograde, just look it over a few times.
Right.
Like a lot. Make sure there's nothing in there that you didn't agree to or you weren't aware of. Because another thing with Mercury retrograde, when those mental faculties are a little bit offline, that's really the core of it, is that we miss things. We misspeak. We didn't, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, and then think of like when travel stuff goes on, well, who runs all that?
Right.
People.
Yeah.
Like it's, so it's really that kind of cool thing of just like, oh my gosh, when we understand this stuff and how it correlates to us, the individual, we'll remember the collective is just made up of lots of individuals.
Lots of individuals. Now, if an individual had Mercury retrograde, like Mercury wasn't retrograde when they were born.
Yes.
Is this a time that is still pretty yin and introspective for them as well?
You know what they say, and I'll speak into this, but it's not something I've necessarily noticed in like the charts that I've read and studying this, but they do say that when you have a retrograde planet and then that planet is in retrograde, actually in transit, you may not feel it as much.
Okay.
It may be a little bit of a different experience for you versus perhaps, let's say, someone who was born with Mercury direct.
Okay.
So again, I can't 100% vouch for that, but it is something that I've heard, and I would say from my astro geek brain, it makes sense to me.
I love that. I love that. Are there any transits that are going on right now, or just speaking generally to astrology, that as a collective, like we all have collective responsibility? And I know a lot of this conversation has been your self-awareness, your self-love, tools and connection to your higher expression of who you are is benefiting the collective. But are there any collective opportunities that you would highlight or suggest? Like, I think like 2020 obviously was a big one.
Big one. Yeah. And guess what happened that year? Saturn conjuncted Pluto on January 12th.
Just from this conversation, I know that that is a very challenging
full aspect. Yeah, and look at 2020. Like that was an absolute pivotal year.
Right.
And also foreshadowed Pluto moving into Aquarius, which is where we are now. And I always like to say Pluto is power and Aquarius is the people.
Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Power to the people.
It's going to be a different paradigm. But the thing too is that Pluto moves slowly. So it's a more subtle kind of energy. Mm-hmm. So Pluto, all the outer planets move slowly. But the idea here is that Pluto moving through Aquarius, I've talked about this a few times, but like deeper transparency within the collective, AI is coming online in a massive way. That's good. Because remember I said with power comes accountability with Pluto.
Right.
So Pluto for us as a collective, Aquarius, in its expression, it is like either chaos or like a high-minded approach to connectivity.
Okay.
So the Aquarian energy is either like, damn it all, like chaos, anarchy. That's like, because there's always octaves of everything. So like, let's maybe say, I'm not judging this as better or less than, everything has its place truly. But a lower octave, let's say, of that Aquarian energy is like chaos and just like its ruler is Uranus. So it's like lightning fast change, chaos, no central power kind of thing. And a higher octave of Aquarius is connection, humanity, what impacts me impacts you, thinking of the interconnectivity, utilizing a lot of very famous inventors, ironically, have been Aquarians. So it's using that light, that Uranus ruler, using it for good. My idea that can help and heal thousands, millions, billions. So Pluto moving into this sign, we're already seeing it. It's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be a continual at a collective level which direction will we choose to go? And sometimes things have to break apart, as we know, so that something new can be created. And Aquarius is about ideas and ideologies. And hopefully it is the ones that actually serve and benefit the whole, because Aquarius does concern itself with humanity and with impact. That's actually some of the core words of Aquarius. And I call Aquarius the archetype of the innovator, because it's about innovating the old and useless. Capricorn rules the past and tradition, which is where Pluto's leaving. And Aquarius rules innovation and the future. So
you heard it here first.
Pretty powerful stuff.
Love that. No, that's, I would love to find another word that's not empowering, because I've said that about 30 times today, but I don't have one, and it just is empowering. I'm excited for this. I think it will be, as we all better ourselves, better our relationship with ourselves, and not from a way of like, we're not good enough as we are, but we are evolving and we're growing more aware of ourselves and how we affect one another. I'm really excited to see how that plays out, just not just planetarily, but in real time, like with our feet on the ground, what that is like, and how we all are rising to the occasion of our lives together. I love this. Oh,
I love that, babe. Beautifully put.
It's a time to be alive. Okay. I would love if you wouldn't mind sharing maybe 3 to 5 tangible resources or just next steps for folks who have been listening, because we could go on and I would love to.
We could be. That's like when you and I talk. It's like a two-hour moment.
I would love to keep this party train going. But I want to be respectful of your time. I also want this to be digested and maybe folks can come back and maybe take notes. I'm going to come back and listen and take some notes and look at my chart in tandem. Probably text you for some other insights.
Please. I'd love that.
But for those who are moving forward and just want to understand their charts, maybe it's even just a place that you recommend finding your chart. If you could share more about all of your amazing courses or what you're doing online and Instagram, so we can stay in touch and learn more.
Yeah, please. So, well, first thing, if you have never looked at your chart before, great. I'm going to give you the app that astrologers, and I'll just say me, and then usually when I see my other geeky astrologer friends, they have this app as well, but it's called Time Passages, and it has amazing synthesis, which is what you want in astrology, because synthesis is the thing we've been kind of talking about today. It's a little bit of the harder part of the language of astrology. So that app lets you pull up your chart, look at your planetary transits, get to know your natal chart. It's so beautiful. It's very in depth. So that's called Time Passages. If you want something for your computer, astro.com is a great place to get a free chart. Again, that's definitely a tool that many kind of old school astrologers use, and I've been on that thing since I was 18. That's the first time I pulled my chart up. Actually, I was 18. So it's been a while, but it's a great, great resource. And then as far, you know, I offer something in my work called Prosperity Reports. So if you would like to get to know your unique money and purpose placements, I provide I don't remember how many pages it is, but we do 3 of your prosperity placements and 2 prosperity transits, very digestible, amazing, amazing to use if you want to get to know your chart a little better, but especially from the lens of like your prosperity and your purpose. And then I also have a YouTube channel where I have a lot of astrology content, and I'm super, super active on Instagram, and I'm pretty much posting about astrology all the time now. So you can definitely please connect with me there. It's just @Natalia_Benson. My website is nataliabenson.com, and that's really it. I'm trying to think if there's maybe one more resource. One of my favorite astrology books, I've got it upstairs. Okay. It's called Astrology, A Cosmic Science by Isabel. I think her last name's Hickey. I'm not sure. Hickel, I forget. But amazing, amazing book. It's very esoteric, very empowering, and it's one of my favorites. It's actually a newer book that I just found, but there's so many different resources. And remember what I said, you can study getting to know your own chart, and just learning your own planetary placements is one of the best things that you can do. And if you would like my empowering take on the chart, just go to my site, go to the astrology shop. I've got a little guide for you there, as well as that prosperity report. And if you just want to take to the internet, you got it. Just there's so many ways that you can learn this amazing system.
Absolutely. And I can attest, as a student of yours, I can attest she's very colorful. You're very colorful with your language. Yes. You offer like tools that help all learning styles. So there's worksheets, there's color, there's your, you know,
I love it's to just make beauty. Beautiful.
It's beauty. It's beauty. She's beauty. She's grace. Oh. I love it.
I love you so much.
I love you. I thank you.
Thank you. Babe.
Thank you. Thank you for being here and for sharing
thank
this
you so much
with the GLOW community. I love GLOW. I love you. And to marry everything together feels so right on time. So God bless you. I love you dearly.
Love you, angel. Mwah.
Thank you to our entire team behind the scenes at GLOW. I'm so grateful for your care and commitment to serving our members around the world. Thank you to our teachers for so beautifully sharing your gifts and talents. I'm also grateful to our lovely community of GLOW members. You've supported us since 2008, and because of you, we get to continue to do the work we love. It's the combined support of our team, our teachers, and our community that grants me the privilege to continue to bring you the GLOW podcast. Thank you to Lee Schneider at Red Cub Agency for production support. And the beautiful music you're hearing now is by Carrie Rodriguez and her husband, Luke Jacobs. And remember, take care of yourself because our world needs you. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. You can find the GLOW podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or glo.com/podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Derek Mills.